I hope you're all enjoying the conference. I'm very excited about this next speaker. We have Jeff Leonard. I was going to say Leonard, to make it a little fancy. Leonard. He oversees NACS critical industry image campaigns to enhance the image of convenience and fuel retailing industry, particularly around healthy options. Today, I'm just happy to present Jeff to you.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Welcome, and I'll try to make this as lively as I can. I know it's the last session before lunch. I could go a couple different ways. I could show you dense slide after slide after slide looking at trends, or I could show you some of them and show you some pictures and just talk about where we see the industry and where we see bottled water fitting in. I decided to do the latter, and I'm glad I did because I was at Gary's presentation previously on bottled water trends, and he did a great job. If I tried to replicate that, it's not a unique session. So if you want to take pictures, great. It always feels good when somebody takes pictures because I've said something smart. However, if you don't want to take pictures and you still want the presentation, just give me your business card. I'll email you the PDF. So whatever works for you, and I'm happy to talk afterwards. And if you have any questions at any point during this talk, just raise your hand. Let's talk about them then because this session's for you. So I want to reiterate a couple things that Gary had said in the last session that were beverage trends. First off, water is the ultimate healthy beverage. And when you talk to all these nutritionists that we work with, there's all kinds of different definitions on healthy when it relates to food. And there's none of that confusion when you're talking about bottled water. They may say these other beverage categories are less than healthy or they don't qualify, but bottled water does. And as we look at more healthy profiles, and we're definitely seeing it with convenience stores, water is the category on the drink side that there's no question about that. The other thing is I'm going to try to look at broad trends. So I don't just want to look at where numbers are today, but why they got to where they are today. And then I want to share a couple examples inside stores that might give you some ideas on how you might work with some of the stores if they're part of your portfolio. Two other things that Gary had mentioned, he talked about gas prices. Convenience stores sell about 80% of the gas purchased in the country. Usually a convenience store, I think 84% of convenience stores sell gas. So if you're buying gas, it's at a convenience store. And I'll go through some of the numbers where what percentage of convenience stores go inside the store, et cetera. But as gas prices come down, that does present more opportunities. We survey customers on a regular basis to find out how they feel about prices rising, falling, et cetera. And I'll talk a little bit about that as well. So, just give you the overall agenda. What I'd like to do is just set the context, go through a little bit about who convenience stores are in a couple of slides, what's the size of our universe, and then I want to talk a little bit about some trends related to healthy and how they relate to convenience stores. Then we'll look at some numbers with convenience stores, and then I want to share a couple ideas, what might be opportunities and what might be next for our channel and bottled water sales. So first off, looking at the convenience store industry, I tried to pick four pictures in each of these different chapter headers that kind of show different examples of where our industry is. Some are fairly traditional, some are more out there. The top left is a store in Chicago, does a great job with a grill selling hamburgers and things like that. What they've done is they really segmented the store where one side is a upscale QSR, quick serve restaurant, the other side's a convenience store. Parker's there is interesting. They're based in Savannah, and they do things very heavy in the community. First Monday every month, they donate a penny on every gas sale to the local schools, and it does a really great job in adding some stickiness beyond, even with gas prices at $2.20 a gallon, people are still mad. So it takes a little bit of that away from people not being happy on price. Pop 66 is just outside Oklahoma City. They have 700 different sodas in that store. Not 700 total sodas, 700 different SKUs of soda. They have two shelves of just orange soda. It's one of the more amazing soda places that's also a convenience store in the country, and they have one in the Oklahoma City airport if you ever go through there. And 7-Eleven is down there in the bottom right. That is one of their stores in Chicago that is in a right below a apartment complex. They sell something like 12 avocados a day. They have a really robust vegetable category, and they do an awful lot in the way of wines and water sales, things like that. They also, interestingly, at this store have a vending machine that sells salads. And when I sent a text to somebody, I said, I just had a vending machine salad from 7-Eleven, and it was delicious. My friend I sent it to is like, okay, I need to hear more about that. But there's some really interesting things going on in stores related to healthy, and I'd just like to take a look at some of those trends. Typical convenience store grew up as 7-Eleven was the first convenience store in 1927. And the typical convenience store was 40 feet by 60 feet, or 2,400 square feet. They've evolved a little bit. They've gotten a little bit bigger. And when you're looking at newer stores, they're getting bigger. They're not adding SKUs. What they're doing is they're adding more space around destinations. So you have an area that's more focused on food. You have an area that's more focused on hydration. You have a fresh case. You have different elements fitting in there, but it's not stacked with more product. 70,000 is the average net square feet for a lot. Now, in terms of sales and margins, while fuel is about 70% of a store's profits, it's only about 7% of the gross profit dollars. Gas is marked up about 20 cents a gallon. After expenses, particularly credit card fees, they make about a nickel a gallon. They need you inside the store to stay in business. And if you look at the areas that have the higher margins, food service, not surprisingly, it's much more labor intensive, but food service has the highest margins. And it also attracts the customers, I think, convenience stores and most people are looking to attract. Perishable grocery, a little bit more challenging. We're not really going to get into details on that. And then merchandise as a whole inside the store is about 27%. That's what a convenience store looks like. What is the scope of convenience stores? There are 152,000 convenience stores in the country. When you look at Nielsen numbers, that is a little over one-third of all retail locations in the country, which is a staggering number. And my kids didn't believe me when I said that. And I said, okay, we're going to go drive to dinner tonight, count the convenience stores. And then you start noticing the Shells, the BPs, all those. Yes, they're all convenience stores, and they are everywhere. And just by context, Nielsen also tracks restaurants. There are about four times as many restaurants in the country as convenience stores, which isn't that much when you think about it. The convenience store industry is also dominated by one-store operators. And when I started at NACS, I started in 1999, and so the first year that we were able to collect this information was the year 2000. Exactly half of the stores in the country were one-store operators. That has increased to 63%. And it's increased to 63% for a couple of reasons. First off, convenience stores are an affordable entry point. It's much easier to buy a convenience store than a Costco-like structure and run a business. The other thing is you have, since the late 90s, a lot of the major oil companies have consolidated. As they've consolidated, they've spun off many retail units in areas where they had competition. Also, the major oil companies got out of retail. All those gas station signs that you see, there are about 400 stores total in the country that are owned by major oil companies right now. And that's about out of 150,000 gas outlets. They are what's called further upstream. Upstream meaning refining, in some cases, production. But the major oil companies don't own gas stations anymore. They sell a brand of liquid through them, just like you go inside the store and you see a dispenser from a CSD company, but that CSD company does not own the inside of the store. Now, one more slide I want to show you just to compare the retail universe, and this is a really dense one, but it kind of just shows in a snapshot convenience stores how they wind up as 34% of all retail. If you see, the number two category on that slide is single store C-store operators. The number three category is category killer, which means everything that doesn't fit those other categories or other. So it's lamp stores, it's toy stores, it's the various other elements not there. So there are an awful lot of convenience stores out in the country. Now, who are our customers? If you look at 152,000 convenience stores and 320 million Americans, there's a convenience store per every 2,100 people. So last figures we saw, 93% of all Americans are within 5 or 10 minutes of a convenience store, including the very rural ones. The average store gets about 1,100 customers a day, close to 300 at the pump, and about 800 inside the store. There's about a one-third overlap, people at the gas pump, one-third come inside the store. And when you add up 152,000 plus times 152,000 times 1,100 customers a day, it equates to a little bit more than 160 million transactions a day. So to put that in comparison, that's 320 million people in the country. That's half of the country is in a convenience store on a daily basis, if you haven't, or at the lot. So if you haven't been to a convenience store today, odds are you will tomorrow, or somebody's making it up for you by coming in multiple times a day. And one other comparative point, last year's Super Bowl, I think, was watched by about 120 million people. That would be a very, very slow day in the convenience store industry. Two other things related to customers. When you look at shift workers, the latest numbers I found from the Department of Labor are from 2000. I'm sure it's increased since then, but roughly 1 in 7 Americans are shift workers, and that includes the bulk of those that are first responders, et cetera. So when you're looking at convenience stores, you're looking at people who are also being served second and third shift. And one other point, also 1 in 7 people in this country are on SNAP or on food stamps. And oftentimes convenience stores are in those areas best equipped to serve them, not necessarily for bottled water, but for some of their other needs. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going through this slide, but I just want to, here's examples of a couple different trends. Selling food outside. Giant is not a convenience store, but right up the road in Chevy Chase, Maryland, they have a drop-off in that bottom right. And what you do is you order your Giant items, Giant being a grocery store, you order your items, and they reconfigured the service bays in the gas station. You pick them up, they have an area that's frozen, they have an area that's cold, they have an area that's room temperature, and you pick up your items and get your gas, and then you get right on the beltway and don't move. But online ordering, yeah. It's so basically everybody's trying to serve convenience, and that's just another example outside of drones and some of those others that are a little further away. Here's how much demographics have changed and where it fits in with convenience stores. In the 1950s, the majority of people were married and living with children. 55% of the U.S. households were married with kids, and meanwhile, you only had 9% of the country that was single and living alone. Now, fast forward, seems like longer than it is, 60 years, 50 years, and those numbers have almost equated. The percentage of people who are married living with children is now close to 1 in 4, and those living by themselves is close to 1 in 5. And that trend just keeps on intersecting, and that has driven a few other trends that relate to convenience stores, that relate to bottled water, that relate to a lot of other interesting things. One of them is snacking is in. People snack every day, and there's two reasons for that. That was not a dramatic pause. That was actually a drink bottled water. One of them is there are an awful lot of places to snack, and one of the things I did in looking at our competition is if you drive down the street and walk in any store, it looks like a convenience store at the register. It might be Staples, it might be the Home Depot, it might be Best Buy, it might be Jo-Ann Fabrics, it might be PetSmart. They are all selling candy and snacks and drinks at the register. Even Old Navy at Tyson's Mall looks like a convenience store at the register. So there are an awful lot of places that people can get snacks, but demographics are also driving those. Because when you're single and you're living alone, it's kind of a hassle to fix a meal every night for yourself. So that's one of the things that is driving the change in how people eat. Availability plus just need. They are eating healthier, though. And there's a great move in the last few years for people to look at healthier options. So I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, Taco Bell talked about the fourth meal. And some health advocates really went into them. And they said, you know, Americans get enough in their three meals. We don't need a fourth meal. They weren't saying that people should be eating four meals a day. They were saying there was a fourth meal option. And that fourth meal option is for millennials because they may not race home to come to an empty house at 6 o'clock. They may go to the gym. They may go to a bar. They may go to a movie. They may go somewhere else. But they're eating at different times. And we're seeing that in our consumer surveys as well. They're not necessarily racing home to an empty house to eat at traditional dinner hours. And because of that, they're often coming to convenience stores to pick up these items. And it may be at 10 at night. It may be at 11 at night. It may be at 6. And we're also looking at various things. I'll talk a little bit about meal replacement or dinner kits that we're experimenting with. But this was an article that was in the USA Today earlier this year. One other thing related to convenience stores and food, it is getting much more gourmet. And for those old enough to remember National Lampoon's Vacation, Chevy Chase's character in 1983 said, "I'm so hungry I could eat the sandwich from the gas station," and that was funny. It's a little harder to find that funny now, and these are a couple examples of places. This place is Soul Food in the top left. It's in Wheaton, Maryland, and it's delicious. They took a space that's the same space as a Subway meal area, and they put a food truck there. Not physically put the food truck, but these people were doing a great job with the food truck, but they were chasing parking tickets. They were worried about the weather every day because when you're a food truck, you have to start prepping at 5 in the morning. And then if it rains, if it snows, if you have a bad location, your day is wiped out. And they were looking for an alternative. So they located in a gas station, and it really is tremendous. And I think it's one of those trends you'll see grow. I'm a little mad at these guys in the bottom right. Oklahoma Joe's, they've since changed their name to Kansas City, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, thank you. And I went there this summer. Anthony Bourdain listed it as one of the 13 places to eat before you die, and the other places on the list were like the top restaurants in Hong Kong, London, etc. The reason I'm mad at them is last year they have this one sandwich called the Z-Man. And what they found out is every time the Royals ate the Z-Man, they won. I grew up a Mets fan, so the Royals were eating some Z-Men last week, usually in the eighth or ninth inning, I assume. But it's a very simple gas station with incredible food, and they opened their kitchen for food at 11 o'clock at 11:12 when we were there, 11 o'clock in the morning. At 11:12, every seat was taken at that gas station. They have a restaurant and a convenience store. Yeah, so they do have the C-store within there, too. And so they have the grab-and-go items. But if you're in Kansas City, get the Z-Man. It's a pretty good sandwich. I realized when I took these pictures that the first thing I'm going to show is our car needs to be cleaned. And unfortunately, my kids aren't here to shame, so you guys get to see it, and you get to see that we may need to clean it. But this is a 14-year-old car, and there are 10 cup holders in it. And the reason I wanted to show that is most cars probably today have more. The idea is there are an awful lot of places to stick beverages in the country today, and they started with a car, and they're expanding from there. Now, the reason I also want to talk about these is because it relates to convenience stores. For a lot of millennials, that is their dinner plate. And when you look at what you can sell from a convenience store standpoint, you often see them come in a cup when they're food. And that's why you see candy in a cup. That's why you see gummy worms in a cup. That's why McDonald's was putting their salads in a cup. That's a dinner plate also. And as you can see, it's not always a clean one. But cup holders are everywhere. And as soon as I started working on this, I started to notice the other places. Now, our kids used to be younger, and you'd get two more cup holders and a car seat. So you get two more car seats. You're up to 14 cup holders in that car. You have strollers with double cup holders. If anybody's flying out of National Airport, I just noticed this. There are cup holders every other seat in the National Airport waiting area. Walkers, if you're young, you need water. If you're old, you need water. And then I was just at a concert a couple weeks ago. I saw this band called the Mavericks, and I noticed right there on his mic stand, you can't really see, so I put another shot there, something called a Swizzly gig, and it's a bottled water stand for musicians, for them to put their bottled water. And I saw a stat from Mintel recently. 39% of people who regularly buy bottled water feel very uncomfortable when water is not available. So that's the opportunity. When you think about seeing a band and they need to have their bottled water on stage instead of their Jack Daniels and all that other fun stuff they used to have up there. So take you through convenience store sales and how that relates to bottled water now. You have drive-thrus. That's not Oklahoma Joe's. But a couple examples, a couple different blends of grades. You all know what convenience stores look like. Convenience store sales are on par with the restaurants and the grocery stores in this country. And that is just because they obviously, per store, you come nowhere near the same sales as a grocery store. But there's four times as many convenience stores than a grocery store. And also, you have the big added advantage that convenience stores sell gas. So you're selling something that is probably, with today's prices, at least one $25 item for a fill-up, if you're talking about $2.20 a gallon times 12 gallons or so. But the numbers are remarkable. When you look at that, that is 4% of the U.S. gross domestic product. There are a couple categories. That's based on the Nielsen. Yes, that's based on the Nielsen numbers. Gas being the big differentiator, and also when you're talking with restaurants, some of that overlap is convenience stores also, because if there's a Subway in there or if there's a small QSR, that counts in the restaurant channel. So that's what explains that's a number from NPN, I believe. From Nielsen. Good question, though. I can get more specific on that. But yeah. There are a few categories that convenience stores dominate. First off, cigarettes. We sell most of the cigarettes in the country. Most of the other channels are getting out of cigarettes for a lot of reasons. That first one is in blue. Convenience stores sell about 86% of the cigarettes in the country. In terms of OTP, meaning other tobacco products, it's over 90%. That includes vape and things like that. It's just easier for our channel to sell them. Grocery stores, you need to have about 200 SKUs for cigarettes, and they simply can't put them at every register, so they put them in the cage. And when they put them in the cage, people feel like they have to go into a cage to get something, and they don't feel very welcome, so they don't get them. Packaged beverages, we sell about 41% of the packaged beverages in the country when you look at these three universes. Now, percentage-wise, we sell fewer bottled water. Bottled water is number three in terms of packaged beverages. Number one is CSDs. That's about one-third of all packaged beverage sales. Number two, at about 20%, is alternative beverages, which is basically energy products. Bottled water's third at about 10%, but growing the most. Salty snacks, that means chips and all that other stuff, we have about one-quarter of sales. Candy, we have about 35%. Beer, I forgot to mention, is about 60%.
Where's lottery tickets?
We sell about 80% of lottery tickets in the country.
And where's the volume coming from? I mean, is it volume of dollars?
Yeah, lottery is an interesting animal. First off, like with gas, the margins are fairly low. On a dollar ticket, you make about a nickel. And then there's commissions, and you're taking a fairly prized impulse area. But usually now, if a convenience store is not selling lottery, it's at a liquor store. But I just figured for comparison. Yeah. And by the way, beer, 60%, although if you've ever been to a Redskins game, you wonder how the Redskins didn't get a significant percentage of that share. In-store sales contribution. I also want to just look at what are the sales and what are the gross profits. And you can see, looking inside the store only, this is setting gas aside. This is setting it. This is only setting aside $500 billion, but let's just set it aside and let's just look at inside the store. And what you can see is cigarettes are about one-third of in-store sales, but they're only about 13% of profit dollars. Margins are low on cigarettes, and the growth areas in our industry are food service and packaged beverages. Those two are about 35% of sales, but when you look at profits, packaged beverage and food, prepared food combined is more than 50% of the sales. And there are some significant reasons for that, and they relate to millennials, and I'll go through those in a second. The one number, if you take home any number about convenience stores tonight, 84% of the in-store items that we sell are immediately consumed. That means they're consumed within the hour. Sometimes walking out the store, sometimes in the parking lot, sometimes when you're in your car, but it's not a pantry experience. It is something that is almost instantaneous. When we last looked at Nielsen numbers and looking at convenience store bottled water sales, it's a little bit more than $2 billion, and total bottled water in convenience stores, including enhanced and all those other categories as well, is about 2.6. We are very much single serve, not much in the way of multi-pack, unless you're already getting some for something else. Like, for instance, travel teams for soccer might be an opportunity, and I'll talk a little about that. Couple quick slides on sales, and then I'll go into some of the opportunities and what the customers are saying. First off, if you look at in-store sales, we're up about 6% this year, which is pretty good, because inflation still being low, that's taking inflation into account. But it's fairly strong growth, and it's the strongest since we don't have 2009 and 2008, but those were negative years. So it's looking like a very strong year thus far. Our consumers are feeling better. Gas prices have come down. Food service is the one that's really driving this. Food service is a broad category in our industry. It also includes coffee. I just want to be clear on that. It's not just food. It's dispensed beverages, coffee, and prepared food. But prepared food is the bulk of that category, and that's what's driving the growth in our stores. Specifically bottled water, and specifically looking at Nielsen numbers over the last 52 weeks, convenience stores have about 34%, 34.2% of the total bottled water share. And by the way, that's growing at a 9.2% rate. These are Nielsen numbers. And just as looking at C-Store, Food, Drug, and Walmart only, there are others, but just these three. This is total bottled water. But when you look at premium water sales, which are obviously much lower, it is a real growth area in our channel. And I think that female customers are driving this. We have nearly 60% of total sales dollars based on year-to-year sales, and it's a 20% growth category, according to Nielsen numbers. Voss. Voss is probably the easiest one for code name.
Not case pack.
For premium? Okay. Well, I got these numbers. I didn't get the specifics within them, but I'm happy to find that out.
You're thinking the national premiums right now, Perrier, Boss.
Yes. Yes. And I can get more specifics afterwards.
Is that designed by price point?
Price point. Yeah, those were dollar sales. And they're going to be a little higher. That's why I prefer to put up our slides instead of other slides, because I don't have those definitions behind them. I just had the raw numbers. I can go into much more detail on the slides or the numbers I've collected. But total bottled water by channel is definitely on the rise, and Gary had said that in the previous session. So we survey customers every month, and what I want to do is just show a couple things what customers do in our stores. When we ask them, How often do you make purchases inside stores? And we do annual surveys. These haven't even been released yet. So when you look at 41% of weekly sales, remember earlier on I said we get about half of the U.S. in our stores. That means in our stores on our lots. A lot of that traffic, a quarter to a third of that traffic never leaves the gas pump to come inside the store. And that 41%, that includes some fairly heavy shoppers that like convenience stores for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and maybe one more time. But when you look at convenience stores, 41% has been inside a convenience store on a weekly basis. The other interesting part of that, 8% on a daily basis. So when you look at convenience stores and daily habits, whether it's buying a cup of coffee, a bottle of water, a newspaper, you're seeing daily habits as an opportunity that can be exploited. And we have long seen that convenience stores are the destination for beverages. And when you ask people when they're on the road, what do you go to a convenience store for first? What item do you get? Do you lead with food? Do you lead with beverages? And QSRs, by and large, you tend to go to a QSR, a quick service restaurant, for food and, oh, by the way, something to drink. When you go to a convenience store, it's much more likely that you're going to get something to drink and, oh, by the way, food. But there's also variations within the customer numbers here. You can see for people who are overall, 49% are most likely to go into a convenience store. So roughly half are going in for a drink. But when you look at the variations, you can see that millennials are most likely to go inside for food. That jumps up to 44 for them. For those 35 to 49, I think that they're thinking coffee, they're thinking traditional beverages. It's very much something that's in the wheelhouse for getting water sales. And for those, you can see that there's also, I went in the store for another reason, 30% and 35% for the two older groups. Some of that is cigarette sales, that you're seeing higher cigarette sales among older customers than younger customers. And it's also things just like using the ATM or using a service like the bathroom. They're much more likely to do something like that or buy a lottery ticket. So last time you went to a convenience store, what did you specifically purchase? And this is based on your most recent visit. We broke it down by food, by snacks, by other items. Now the lottery ticket, 33%. So that was a question from earlier. But when you're looking at bottled water, 43%. There's two products that are higher than that in terms of why they came into the store. So fresh trends, I talked about how fresh is really big in our channel. Here's some examples. That is a gas station hamburger, and it is delicious. And going back when I was introduced, we talked about this refresh initiative. When I started with the National Association of Convenience Stores, my focus was to talk about gas and change the conversation about gas prices. We don't gouge. We're small operators. Tell that story. Communicate where we all fit in. Into the U.S. economy. And over the last, you can see, 5 years ago, she had some pretty tough words for us. And it was all related to food deserts and where as much a problem as anything. Now, we've spent a considerable amount of time not only saying that we have a better story to tell, but actually going out and creating a better story by teaching retailers what is out there, what are the opportunities, where are your growth opportunities, and why. And earlier this year, this is what she said. I heard her say this a couple times. Even convenience stores are offering fresh fruits and vegetables. And I was talking to the person who wrote the speech afterwards. I said, you know, we're going to work so next year we take that word even out because we can do better. And we already have. In the last month, both Let's Move and the Partnership for Healthy America have sent out some pretty nice tweets related to our industry and what we're doing on healthy. And I just wanted to show you why we're putting such an emphasis on that in a few slides here. So, as I said, we survey customers monthly. We also have some annual surveys that go much deeper. But we ask them, are you buying more healthy items? 34% say more. And when you look at these boxes. I know these numbers, so I'll try to communicate how I as easily as I can, but you're going to see these same four boxes lit up in multiple slides. And it is the female, and it is the millennial, the 18 to 34. 34% say they're buying healthier. In both cases, you're seeing that here. You're seeing 48% of millennials and 43% of women say they're buying healthier. Others are lower. Bless you. So, are we responding? 61% of overall Americans say so, and then you look at females, they're right around the average. Millennials see it. They're coming in our stores, they're seeing it, they've embraced it. You have 70% that say they're seeing healthier items in stores.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And that is, we do this every year, the word offering healthier changes every year. If it's just status quo, it'd be zero.
But the operational implications of that healthier stuff for the 50% or the 64% who are single store operators for the 3-day shelf life on some of these items,
mm-hmm.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's where the challenge comes in. Yeah, and that separates those who are winning in this from those who are still struggling. So while consumers see that we're doing better, they also think we should be doing more. 70% think we need to be doing more. And when you look at the 18 to 34-year-olds, it's even they say that. So why I like this slide is it says that we're not ahead of the curve on this, and the customers are ready for it, and we have the opportunity. So I thought this was interesting. This is Love's. This is a truck stop. And since they started offering fresh options for truckers, and I think everybody has this image of truckers, you know, their belly walks in and 3 seconds later they do and all this other stuff. But their fruit and vegetable cups and bananas are outselling things like Bud Light, 16-ounce cups of coffee, Reese's peanut butter cups, and even 20-ounce sodas. So there's a remarkable transformation when you're looking at convenience stores, when you're looking at truck stops, when you're looking at things on the go. The key is, as you mentioned, how do you do it? How do you get the distribution? Because a typical convenience store, small store, is looking at once a week delivery. We survey our members. Now, our members, you also have to realize, are probably better performers. You're not going to have as many of these one-store operators in the mix. You're going to have people that want to get better. You're going to have people that are interacting with each other at conferences, at other events. So they're seeing more progressive ideas and testing them, and they have people to share with. But pretty remarkable numbers when we have asked each of the last couple of years, what percentage of you are selling these things, whether it's produce, and 77% for produce. Remember, that could just be a bananas basket on the counter, and hopefully one of really good-looking bananas as opposed to some one that needs to be banana bread. But you're definitely seeing all these items as capturing more shelf space in stores. And how much? We also asked them, are you adding? And when you look at some of these categories, 41% are adding health bars. Only 5% for boiled eggs, and I think eggs is going to make a bigger resurgence. I think that boiled eggs, people are now saying, is one of the best ways to grab a quick protein snack in the morning. So I want to show a few slides looking at some of the things in our stores. And also I wanted to show a picture of the store so you can see that they aren't all Taj Mahals or things like that. Some of them are fairly ordinary-looking stores on the outside, but doing some very interesting things on the inside. Quick Trip is a store based in La Crosse, Wisconsin. They have about 400 stores. And short version of their stores are they sell 400 pounds of bananas per store per day. It's about a banana every 100 seconds around the clock. I went to the Philadelphia... And they're good bananas, and they're 39%, they're 39 cents a pound, 29 cents a pound. I went to the Philadelphia produce market, and they had 6 banana ripening rooms. And I happened to be there with somebody from Quick Trip, and it's like, you have 7 in Wisconsin, don't you? It's like, yes. Short version of how they got into bananas is they made a commitment to bananas a couple of years ago, and this kind of helps explain how you do produce and do it well. Now, first off, have 400 stores. They told their store managers, "We're getting a 40-pound box of bananas every day." And what happened is those first few weeks, they were selling 2 pounds, 3 pounds, and a lot of donations were happening. And the store managers now, also in convenience stores and most retail outlets, compensation is tied to shrink. It's tied to waste. So the more bananas you're throwing out, the worse you're going to get on a bonus. So the store managers were starting to say, hey, you know, this is not good. Can we cut back to 30? Can we cut back to 20? You can get a bag of bananas, a 10-pound bag. And they said, no, we'll do two things. You're getting 40 pounds of bananas tomorrow. You're getting 40 pounds a day after that. Either learn how to sell them or learn how to make banana bread, but we will de-link the compensation. And that's a critical element, and that's one of the ones that we're stressing with retailers, is you have to have a designated time that you will fail. It might be 30 days, it might be 60 days, it might be 90 days, it might even be 120 days. We'll be losing money, but you are not going to put bananas out and expect to sell out every day as soon as you start these programs. You need to set up expectations that they can find them, that they look good, that you're ready for them. So that's the 400 pounds of bananas, and they also sell an awful lot in the way of other fruits and vegetables. Mentioned smaller operators. This is a store called Throx in Winchester, Virginia. Winchester is about an hour west of here. They have 3 stores. They also have 3 different kinds of kale chips for sale. And I know we all hear about kale as the superfood and all that other stuff. What I like about that is we're talking about something that convenience stores can sell because this is packaged. This has a longer shelf life. They also have an amazing amount of smoothies, which ties into what you can do for breakfast. But there are different ways to sell healthy, and looking at packaged is one of them. This is the biggest opportunity in convenience stores, and I'll spend some time as we go on talking more about the fresh case. This is the thing that differentiates us from all the other competitors that are selling drinks and snacks at the register. As often as I go to Home Depot would be hard-pressed to do this with sawdust and all those other things in stores. I spoke to a retailer recently, and he said 38% of their food, of their total food sales, move through the fresh case today. And that is the total food universe of snacks, candy bars, hot food, et cetera, et cetera. More than 1/3 of the food dollars. And you're seeing people get the grab-and-go sandwiches. You're seeing them get the yogurts. You're seeing them get the, you don't put bananas there. Those got to be room temperature, but you're seeing some other fruits and vegetables there, and it's moving product. And the key is convenience. I heard a presentation a couple weeks ago from some marketing expert, and he was talking about Google wants people healthy, at least at their stores or at their offices. And Google they had open containers of M&Ms. And they found that people were eating an extraordinary amount of M&Ms. So they did something. They moved the M&M jars about a foot away to make it a little harder, and they found M&M sales went, or M&M grabs went down a bit. They still had too many M&Ms that they thought that they were their employees were eating. So they put a lid on the jar. By simply putting a lid on the jar, they went through 3 million less M&Ms a month at their New York office. The reason I mention that is the fresh case is the opposite. It's totally transformed our industry. That is immediate grab-and-go impulse. You don't have to open a door. You don't have to slide a door. If you have a kid in your hand, or you have a couple items in your hand, or you're just in a rush, that fresh case at the front of the store is very attractive and is really driving growth. And I think the other thing is, by calling it the fresh case, for those of you that have any background in retail, those coolers, they used to be square, and they used to be called coffins, and used to sell perishables in it. So when you think about selling perishables out of a coffin, sounds pretty disgusting, but selling fresh items out of the fresh case or open-air cooler, it really has transformed things. And bottled water fits there great, by the way. And that's all part of the adjacencies. It's thinking beyond the cooler doors. You can have bottled water in different locations in the store. That is what the healthy customer wants, and you can grab them there. A couple trends. We just had our trade show a couple weeks ago, our NAC show, the National Association of Convenience Stores. Just want to go through a couple numbers there and a couple things I saw, and then I want to talk about some opportunities, and then I want to leave 15 minutes or so for questions. We get about 24,000 people. We beat the old record by 27 people, so it's not like we smashed the record. It's two dozen people got in the last day. But 73 countries, which is more than a third of all the countries on Earth, so I need to go through and figure out what percentage of the world's population was represented there. If you get one from China, then you get a whole bunch of people there. But we also have about 1,200 exhibitors, and that continues to grow as well. And I don't get to spend as much time on the trade show floor as I used to, but it's definitely a beverage show to a great extent. And one of the things, I had just mentioned the fresh case, we have a cool new products area where we have roughly 300 new to the channel products. You have to pay extra for this. This is like an extended expo area. So if it's a new product on some level, whether to our channel, whether packaging, things like that. So one of the things I saw was pickle popsicles, which is pretty intriguing. The kids have two of them. They still have yet to taste them. But 300 different products. We had this fresh case there, and our initiative is called Refresh. We stocked it. We had little shelf talkers there explaining how to do various things. Usually when we have a NACS item in this area, we do it just, okay, let's have something there, and there's 300 items, and we have retailers can scan if they're interested. If there's 300, the last five on the list are always NACS products, so it's like 294, 295, just dead last. This was number 26 in terms of interest. So this tells us also, out of 300, so it's a top decile, this tells us that there's a real thirst to get these in stores and to move product via these fresh cases. Also at the show, we led three sessions that talked about healthy. One of them, here's two slides. We're working with a Cornell Food and Brand Lab. And on Thursday, I'm going to Quantico to visit the Marine Marts, are testing some of their recommendations. And the Food and Brand Lab, I don't know if you're familiar with them. Brian Wansink leads that, and he's written a couple books. They're definitely worth checking out in looking at how do you incent customer purchases. I know in the last session, there was at least a reference to raising prices and what that does to various items. One of the things he found, he did a simple test on sugar taxes in a town. One area of the town, they raised the price of CSDs. The other side, they didn't, and they wanted to see what happened to consumption. What you would expect, or what I guess people who advocate sugar taxes would expect, is that people would drink less soda and drink something that would be considered better for them. What happened is beer consumption went up because people were paying extra for soda and they were in a soda frame of mind and they felt like having something that was a little bit more indulgent. So they said, oh, it's about the same price as beer. I may as well have a beer. It wasn't going to chase them to something that they weren't ready to consume. So when you look at water or something like that, they said, I want something. I want to treat myself today. So that's one of the downsides, at least in this test, in looking at soda taxes. But so what they're doing is we're working with the Marine Marts, who has about 300 convenience stores across the country, and we're resetting stores. We're putting bottled water at eye level in the cooler doors, and early indications right now, it's increasing bottled water sales, but it's not decreasing any other sales. If people want the soda, they still get the soda, because that's what they're in the frame of mind for. They're not going to trade what their experience was going to be. We are also looking at various ways to incent. Can you just use a simple thing like a floor tag? to just direct people differently. And there's a lot of different ways we can look to talk to people and put them in the proper frame. So we're, like I said, we're working with the Cornell Food and Brand Lab. We're going to come out with videos. We're going to come out with a toolkit for retailers to say, here's how you can move more healthy beverages by thinking the way consumers think. One of the other fun tests that they did, this has nothing to do with convenience stores, but they wanted to see about when people think that they're full. And so they had this soup experiment, which is, I guess, where they gained their first credibility. Two groups of people were eating 8 ounces of soup, except the second group was getting a tube was continually feeding the bowl. So no matter how much they ate, the bowl never got empty. Both groups said they ate 8 ounces of soup, but in fact, the other group ate something like double the amount. And so there are different ways to look at customers. Another thing they talked about, organics. And sometimes organics work, sometimes they don't work. If you take, and they did this with yogurt, they took two identical yogurts, stripped out the labels, all that other stuff. One is organic, one isn't organic. They asked customers to rate them. The organic yogurt always tastes better to consumers. Then they did the same test. They put out two cookies. One of them was an organic cookie. One of them was a regular cookie. The organic cookie always tastes worse. But here's the kicker. They would pay more for it. They would pay more for the cookie that didn't taste good because it was organic. So anyway, that's some of the things that we can do. That is just an early picture. I'm taking pictures on Thursday. These are just planograms that they've provided to us. I'm going to take more pictures of that store than our firstborn. I'm going to really document it and share some of those examples. Well, you have to remember, I mean, we're talking about the early 2000s when you had film, and it got expensive taking more than 24 pictures. The other group we're working with is the Hudson Institute. And Hank Cardello and the Natural Marketing Institute has about 80,000 customer surveys that look at various categories of customers and how do they shop. And there really are five different customer segments. There's the Eat, Drink, and Be Merry's, which convenience stores affectionately call Bubba, which is, you know, the better customer comes in multiple times a day. You have the well-beings that probably will never come in a convenience store because they expect convenience stores to look like health food stores, and until they do, they won't come in there. But you have the group in the middle, and the largest group in the middle is called fence sitters. It's about 25% of the U.S. population. They want to buy more healthy, but they don't know how, they don't know where, they don't know any of those things because retailers aren't giving them the right cues. But in the convenience store channel, fence sitters make up 38% of convenience store customers, and it's a great untapped opportunity. The Hudson Institute has said three things related to these as we move forward to the second level of research. Number one, breakfast is a huge opportunity. People are most likely to eat healthy for breakfast, and as the day progresses, things slide away, and they focus more on delicious. But breakfast is a pretty good opportunity to get people, and that includes bottled water. Number two, they said don't segment your offer to stores and only have a healthy section. Because if you talk about the healthy customer, remember what I was saying earlier, that healthy customer is probably not coming in the store. Probably going to a health food store, something like that. And if you devise a store end cap or something like that around them, they're never going to see it. And the best opportunity to grow the Better For You sales is to mix things. So you put the health bars with the candy bars. You put the kale chips with other chips. You move things around with adjacencies and put, if you have fresh produce, put it as many places as you can. Abundance definitely works. Same with bottled water. So that was takeaway number two. Takeaway number three is they simply don't know they can get healthy items in convenience stores. And we need to tell that story, whether at the gas pump, whether at the gas price sign, whether through sampling. You want to be careful on signage, because one of the things with signage in convenience stores, you want clean windows. It's a security issue. It's more clutter you have on windows, the more likely you might be a target of some sort of crime or something like that. So you want to keep clean windows, but there are definitely ways to tell your offer. And I want to spend the last couple minutes just sharing a couple ideas just to throw out there, and then we can talk about any questions that you have that might apply for other ideas related to convenience stores. One other thing before I forget, Halloween was 3 days ago. Number one thing I gave out for Halloween this year were cups of water. I was stunned. More kids came up and said, I'm dying of thirst. Do you have any water? And I even said, there's a whole bunch of cans of soda sitting out there. We had a fire pit. We were all outside. They said, no, I want water. So there's got to be an opportunity there. I'm not suggesting that anybody give out bottled water instead of candy. Your house will get egged. But I'm suggesting there is an opportunity to look at that, because I was stunned by how, I'm not kidding, 15 cups of water.
If the mother stayed back at the street, the kids wanted Pepsi. If the mother came to the house, because we had sparkling water and we had Pepsi, if the mother was there with the children, everyone asked for sparkling water. If the mother was back at the street, they wanted Pepsi.
Well, they must have thought, I don't know what they thought of me, but that was, yeah. So, again, I just want to throw a couple, I'll dance over this real quick. We're working with a bunch of different groups to help make us smarter and help grow what we can do better. The one in the bottom right is interesting. We introduced a new meal idea. 41% of female customers buy gas at night, and they largely buy gas at night because they're too busy in the morning either getting themselves ready or getting everybody else ready. Men get up in the morning, they put on a shirt that's clean-ish, and they go on their way. They are more likely to buy gas in the morning. So women also, in addition to buying gas, they also have to usually worry about dinner. So our thought was, can we devise something where you have a healthy meal that can be prepared in 30 minutes for less and you pick it up at the gas station? So we tested that in one market and in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and we're going to see if we can try it in other places. The advantages over other types of meal delivery kits right now, we're able to price this at about $5. That's $5 a person as opposed to Blue Apron, which is, I think, starts at 12 and then goes up from there. Number two, you don't have the environmental waste, whether it's with packaging or dry ice or things like that. Number three, you don't have to order your dinner 2 days in advance or a day in advance. This is something you can say, I want it now. And if you're buying a healthy meal, you can buy water with it. Also, just quickly, you probably are well aware of Drink Up. There are now three convenience stores that are part of that. They have signed commitments with the Partnership for Healthy America. TriStar owns Twice Daily convenience stores based in the Nashville area. Quick Trip, as I mentioned earlier. And then my favorite, this is a group that's in the Partnership for Healthy America, and their name is UGAS. Now, when you think about that, here is a convenience store with the worst name possible to sell healthy food, and they're doing it very well. They're based out of the St. Louis, Fenton area, Missouri. So here are a couple things that I've taken pictures of in the last year of convenience stores. This is unusual for our channel. This is a Sheetz in Morgantown, West Virginia. It's their first Sheetz that's a combination grocery store. It sits on the bottom of an apartment complex that has 900 beds above it. And they have full cooking there. So this is an opportunity in this instance where you can sell multi-packs. And it works well because you can buy 12, you can store them. It's not a typical dorm room. It's not a typical convenience store experience where you're grabbing something to go and it's immediate consumption. I bet one of those is consumed immediately and then the rest just kind of hang out. Quick story about this place. This is a convenience store in Modesto, California, and their name is Boyette Petroleum, and they wanted to sell bottled water, and the challenge was, and they wanted to do private label bottled water. Their challenge was they didn't think anybody would buy Boyette Petroleum water. So they really thought, okay, let's try to see if we can get that word petroleum out of our name because it's not working for us. So they did a whole brand building exercise, and they came up with the name Cruisers, and Cruisers because American Graffiti was based in Modesto, so that created the whole everything. The finish line is the checkout area. But the bottled water is really what revolutionized their entire store concept in thinking differently about how they can move water. And water was the driver that really, as I said, changed their business. Here's a one-store operator in Ithaca, New York. And I was stunned to see that they had bottled water, because it's not a convenience store that moves tons of water on a daily basis. They have really great pizzas. It's really a pretty good store. But the reason they went into private label water is he said they were doing an awful lot of fun runs and things like that, where somebody comes into the community and says, hey, can I have 10 cases of water? Can I have this? Can I have that? And what they realized was somebody else was soon getting credit for their generosity. And that's okay. They were doing it for the right reasons, but they thought, let's use the bottled water for something more than hydration. Let's use it to build our brand. So now when they do community events, they use the private label water. And I know that we heard in the last session how private label is growing compared to where it was a decade or so ago. That's one of the reasons why. Sheets, I showed a picture of them two slides ago. They also are linking water to good things. For their private label bottled water, if you buy it, 25 cents goes to their charity for kids, kids who face various illnesses and need help. So as you've seen, bottled water is doing a lot more than hydrating. It's oftentimes adding other elements that, whether it's different nutrients, looking at plant type of waters, we heard about coconut water, maple water, etc. But also, can you link the water to higher cause? That might appeal, and whether that's private label or whether that's a traditional brand, if you can do that, you will appeal to two groups. You will appeal to millennials in particular, who always like to support places that that support causes, and females. And this last one I put up as a threat or opportunity, and they are both. This first one is two water fountains on the side of a convenience store. This was a nice trip. In Honolulu, Hawaii. And it's on the end of a trailhead. And what they said is we're going to put two water fountains there for bikers, for runners, for everybody else. We know it's going to reduce potential for immediate sales of bottled water. But they said, on the other hand, what's the typical runner coming into a convenience store? They've stuck $2 in their sock. They've run 10 miles. It's the drippiest dollar bill you'll ever get. And poor clerk has to handle that. What they instead said was, these people will recognize we're doing something good and they'll come back and reward us. And they found that their bottled water sales did not go down. This is just one isolated instance, and it has to be the right location. But by doing the right branding and say it's provided courtesy of, they found that their bottled water sales didn't go up. And with some of the runners, they found that it even increased them because people were seeking them out. The other thing is, I've seen a little bit more in the way of dispensed water. Just as bottled water wasn't really a category to the same extent it is now a decade or two ago, I think there's potential for bottle or for dispensed water to grow as a category. As you're hearing things about national parks banning bottled water, things like that. But I think this is at 29 Palms in the desert in Palm Springs, California, and the Marines were definitely using these. But there might be opportunities inside the store to also do something with dispensed or somehow tie it in, much the way growlers are right now with beer, reinvigorating some of that category. So those are just two things out there. They might be as threats as much as anything, but just trying to throw out different ideas. And I'll end with, our retailers remain optimistic about our fourth quarter. We survey our members once a quarter, and we ask some of you, optimistic, are you pessimistic? Regularly, we are getting 80% that say they're optimistic, 8% say they're pessimistic. We ask the question three different ways. Are you optimistic about the economy? Are you optimistic about the industry? And are you optimistic about your business? And they are most optimistic about their industry, they're next most optimistic, most optimistic about their business, least optimistic about the economy as a whole. So the broader you go, the less they feel excited about things. But there are three things they're most excited about. It's the economy and consumer sentiment, it's gas prices, and it's the movement of more fresh foods. And I I can get more numbers or more specifics on bottled water, but I want to show what's driving the bottled water sales in our industry and why we are seeing double-digit growth. So we have 10 minutes. You either have those 10 minutes of your life, or we can ask some questions and talk.
Did you track any sales increase or decrease when, say, fuel was $3.80 a gallon versus $2.20 like it is now? Do inside sales go up when fuel prices are cheaper? Any relativity?
We see some of that. And when we ask consumers every month, are you more optimistic, pessimistic, we also ask a question, how much do gas prices affect your answer? And every month, no matter what the prices are, it's between 70 and 80% say that gas prices affect them. Now, I think that there might be a little less in the way of bottled water sales that you can benefit when gas prices go down, because there are two things that happen with gas prices. And when you see them go up, it just feels like you're being beat on every day and you feel like a victim. When they come down, it feels really good. But oftentimes, I think the first reaction is I want to reward myself. So I think that you often see people resort to more traditional patterns and they might get something a little bit more luxurious. What will happen, though, is when gas prices go down, people are more likely to go inside the store, and it gives them permission to do something that they might wait to do until later. So if they're thirsty, and remember one of those early slides, 84% immediate consumption. If they're thirsty and gas prices are going down, they're going to get something to drink. They're not going to wait to go home. Yes? Convenience stores aren't selling a bottle of water. They're selling a solution to thirst. And that's why you're seeing those individual bottles still dominate our market. You oftentimes see, if you have that case water, it's around the corner. It's behind the ATM or something like that. But people come in thirsty. And if they want a 24-pack, they know where they can get the best price or what they think is the best price on it. They'll plan that. But they're thirsty now, and they're grabbing that cold water.
Are you seeing, is it best to go to ESD or through like a Core-Mark warehouse? What are you guys finding? What are you seeing as far as delivery services? Because like you said, once a week. So ESD, is it flying allowances, all that kind of stuff?
Our industry tends to have far less slotting allowances than grocery, if any. We don't have a specific position based on whether you should use DSD or some other distribution. With some of these smaller stores, I was speaking to one, and they're trying to do as many gluten-free and things like that. She's getting 40 different deliveries UPS'd a month, different vendors. So sometimes you have to cobble together your vendors. With a lot of the one-store operators, particularly the corner stores and urban markets, they are getting a lot of their items from warehouse clubs. In Philadelphia, they even have a dedicated program to use Jetro, and they have a side door for all their retail business. When you go to Costco and you see somebody with three shopping carts, they probably either own a restaurant or a convenience store. But you're still buying from the competition, and you're looking at double retail markup. It has to be affordable for a distributor to do business and do more frequent deliveries. And when you look at some of the larger stores that have daily deliveries, they are self-distributed. They're able to do that with fresh, and they're able to do that with the offer. I think with convenience stores, if you want to do fresh well, you have to do it at least twice a week. And you have to justify the turns with your distributor And those are individual conversations.
Are they running between their markups ranging what, 35-60 generally on their side? Is that what you see?
I have not tracked what theirs are. I can find out, because distribution is the next big thing that we need to look at after we've demonstrated that there's an interest in this. In our whole refresh campaign, the first step that we really want to do was demonstrate to retailers that the demand is there, that the business case is there. And the name of the first thing that we came out with was building the case for produce at convenience stores. It was very specific, and here's the margins, here's the opportunity, here's what customers are saying. The next steps are building out all those other elements. Here's how to do it well. Here's how to get different alternatives to distribution, and here's how to manage waste. Yes. A couple of years ago, I was asked, what's the biggest that people were looking at, Mayor Bloomberg and the 16-ounce soda, and somebody wanted to know, what's the biggest size soda cup in the industry? I found it 2 years ago. It's 100 ounces, which is big. But what we did is we did a little bit of a science experiment with it. We filled it up with ice. All of a sudden, you're down to about 52 ounces of liquid. But the reason that this one group was selling 100 ounces is they're out in the Rockies, and they said a lot of their customers are roofers or contractors. When they come in the store, they're getting breakfast, they're getting lunch, and they're getting the day's hydration. And the 100-ounce soda does not have to, the 100-ounce cup does not have to be used for a full-calorie beverage. It can be used for water. It could be used for whatever. I don't think they even charge for the water. But the idea is keep them hydrated. And I think, going back to that earlier slide, looking at dispensed water, I think maybe there's some opportunity there as you look at alternative packaging. How can you use your store brand, 100-ounce cup or otherwise, and sell something a little bit different? Well, in terms of selling dispensed?
Well, many of the IVWA people are smaller businesses, typically focused on water. So if there is a decision to try to go DSD, water on a Coke truck, it's just one more SKU.
Right.
Three more SKUs.
Right. It's
cause marketing
is huge.
Local cause marketing seems like a terrific idea. Going to a local distributor.
Yeah, local is also another thing, and you've seen that trend with produce. And people define local differently. Some say local is within state. Some say it's within 100 miles. Some say it's within 400 miles, which is the range of a truck in a given day. But how do you set apart your beverage as different than the others? And it's going to be difficult to be on price alone, but whether you tie it in. Yeah, you don't, because there's only one winner. So look at cause, you look at local, you look at some way to differentiate yourself by making them feel beyond hydration.
Cold state and hot state, the difference in water?
We don't have it broken down that much. And the question was, is there a difference between cold states and hot states? Our best times are in the summer, and one of our founding members of our association, we were founded in 1961, and he said that 90 degrees and 80% humidity will make a dumb man smart. That was his line talking about what it does to bottled water or any kind of hydration sales in our channel. Summer is our sweet spot. We move an awful lot of water, an awful lot of beverages in the summer. As the last couple of weeks, you've seen a couple different coffee promotions. This is the time of the year where people transition to hotter beverages. But I don't think there are some weird regional variations. For instance, in New England, consumers really don't buy dispensed sodas. And you don't see many convenience stores that have dispensed sodas in New England. Canada, for instance, same thing, except they buy Frosties or they buy frozen dispensed, which you would not think would make sense in Canada. There are some of those variations, but I think, and then within convenience stores, you have three different kinds of convenience stores. You have those that are in a neighborhood, those that are off a main street, and then those that are off a highway. And each of those has a different customer segment. I think the bottled water opportunity is probably most likely the longer you're driving, where you're going to get in the car and use that cup holder, one of those cup holders.
Are you seeing any difference between premium market locations and mainstream locations as far as like trends and people seeking out the premium locations?
Premium locations of stores? You really have to know your customer base, and if you just build upscale stores without understanding who is in that market area, you can really make some serious mistakes. You have to remember that most people, depending upon where the store is located, most people are coming from a 2-mile radius. And you better understand that zip code, traffic patterns, where people are going in the morning, where they're coming back. Beyond just understanding what that immediate market area is. But you have to have the basics for people. You can't be all upscale. And I think some stores go into that danger of trying to get ahead of customer perceptions. You got to have the things that are aspirational, and you got to have the things that they're more traditional. Well, thank you, guys. If anybody needs my slides or anything like that, give me a card and I'll get them to you. Thank you.
Thank you.